This slide changed.
Yes,
so I've got it in the.
Come, it looks like. Hello, everybody. The meeting has been called. The notice of the meeting has been posted for time. Here we go. And in the manner required by law. This meeting is being recorded and will appear on the interwebs, the internet. Can we all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Can we get a roll call, please?
From Hillsborough Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Flader.
Present.
Heidi Welch.
Present.
Jess Morris. Michael Kenny.
Here.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Present.
Danielle Moore. Eric Hodges.
Here.
Tyler Garvin.
Present.
Laura Botello.
Here.
From Windsor, Cynthia Stoes.
Here.
Karen Turbine.
Here.
And Becky Bossi.
Present.
Okay, I will acknowledge that we have two Ware Scouts. They live in Hillsborough and Deering, but they are here. We have Spencer and Owen. So Spencer Jones and Owen Bober, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
So recess meeting to public hearing. So we are going into public hearing for the budget public hearing. Do I need a roll call to go into the recess? I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
So let's get this game on. SAU 34, fiscal year 23-24 proposed budget presentation.
All right. And we have five of them. And just to give everybody the briefest of overviews here, SAU 34 is the organization that provides the oversight and services for the three school districts, which are Hillsborough, Deering, Washington, and Windsor. The net cost of the approved budget of the SAU assessment is then proportionally split up between the districts, and each school district's warrant has an article for their portion of the SAU budget. So, there are 9 full-time employees at the SAU. The majority of the expenses in the SAU budget are salaries and benefits for the 9 SAU employees. And then there are some other things, but they provide the oversight and services for the roughly 300 employees and contracted providers and 1,100 students overall. So with that, Grant is going to give you the detailed breakdown of everything. Take it away.
Good evening.
And I will try not to cough into my mic.
So this slide is a summary of the proposed and the alternative budgets and compares to the FY23 budget. As Dr. Crawford mentioned, the majority of the requirements are salaries and benefits. And you can see that salary and benefit line is a little bit down in the proposed and then up in the alternative. So the central office turnover this past year generated a savings for the proposed budget, especially in regard to health insurance. So some of the people who came in, like me, for example, I have cash in lieu of getting health insurance. So those kinds of things, based on turnover, just the net result was a savings in the FY24 proposed. The alternative goes back up because we are starting the alternative with the FY23 budget and only making adjustments. So once again, FY23 budget had a higher level of health benefits, so that carries over in the alternative, but for the proposed, there's a dip. So that is the strange phenomenon of this year of having a proposed budget that is actually lower than the alternative. As far as audit, legal, and other services, the proposed includes an increase to purchase what's called season tickets for the New Hampshire School Administrators Association trainings, which are very valuable trainings to attend. And it also includes a small inflationary bump for independent auditors to do their work. The alternative, of course, reverts back to the 23 level. postage, telephone, etc. The proposed includes restoration of cell phone reimbursements and an increase in advertising to align with actual expenses. The alternative reverts, once again, to the 23 budget. So if you recall, in 23, back to phones, we took the phone requirement out of the SAU and put it into Hillsborough Deering as the landlord, per se. But what we failed to do was leave the amount that's required for cell phone reimbursements, because that is not an HD function. Next, you have leases and other purchase services. The proposed includes price increases for our hosted financial and human resources software. The alternative does not. Supplies and books includes an increase for the cost of supplies. As you all know, cost of supplies has gone up dramatically this past year or two. Equipment, the proposed includes $2,000 for computer equipment and $1,000 for non-computer equipment. The alternative only had, I think, $500 for non-computer equipment. The limit for considering something an equipment item is $500. So if you left $500, you would be looking for an item that is exactly $500. So you can't really get much in the area of equipment for $500, so we just bumped that up a little in the proposed. Dues and fees, academic recognition, etc. The proposed realigns $5,000 for academic recognition to Hillsborough Deering, since it's basically for Hillsborough Deering students that we're providing that recognition. The alternative reverts to FY23's amount. So as you can see, the bottom line, overall, the proposed budget is down nearly $25,000, or about 2%, while the alternative budget would actually have a small increase of $6,500. I would say next slide, but that's my job. So significant changes in the proposed budget. This is just a higher level summary of what I just went through. So if you just wanted to see the items that were a swing of $1,000 or more, I just put them on here so you would have kind of a cheat sheet of the five biggest changes. But I'm going to go right to the next slide, which is an even higher level of summary. So this just shows you the proposed 24 budget compared to 23, the decrease $24,776, and the percentage 1.97%. This next chart kind of spells out the SAU assessments. So what we start with is the overall budget. So the budget of one, for example, and this shows, as you can see, 23's approved budget, 24's proposed, and the alternative for 24. So it starts with the total budget. It backs out available revenues to determine then what the required assessment is for each column. So those, when I say revenues, I'm talking about, historically, that's just been the amount of fund balance that's been available in the SAU. And if you subtract that out, that's money that doesn't have to be assessed to the school districts. So that's the top part. And then, and also, as far as fund balance goes, there's another slide that will dig into fund balance, so you don't have to really understand everything here. You will see that if this is proposing that we reduce the amount of fund balance as a revenue source. The assessment percentage for each district is based on a 50-50 split of equalized valuation for each municipality and pupil average daily membership, the average daily membership from the prior year for each school district. That is not something that we calculated on our own. I mean, I do the calculation, but that is based on statute RSA 194C, I believe. So that's just the math, and you can see that for the proposed, of course, as you would expect, since the budget is going down, everybody's assessment would go down a little bit, some at a different percentage based on the calculation. So the fund balance analysis. This is one of the charts that changed from the packet that was sent out. So So I start with the FY21 audited unassigned fund balance. So the actual fund balance amount that you would see in the audit is higher than that, but $50,000 was designated as a revenue source for FY22. So that's why instead of the 170 something, it's actually 123 showing up on here. And if we start with that, we back out $70,000, which is designated for cash flow. And the reason for that is on July 1st, if I have a bill that I have to pay out of the SAU, I don't have any money yet because we haven't started collecting assessments. And the school districts don't have a whole lot of money either, so I can't really cheat and try to pull money from the districts yet. So what we want to have is a little bit of money just for cash flow so that we can make payroll, pay our bills that are in, say, July and August, and that buys us enough time to be able to buy you time before we have to collect assessments in. In FY22, the estimated savings or surplus is $27,500. As you know, the audits are going on right now, so I don't have a final number, but I assume a number of around 27.5 or so. If you do that math, then the amount that's available headed into FY23, this current year, was $80,774. $50,000 is a fund balance source in the FY23 budget. It's early to tell, but I'll give you a financial update or a financial report in your SAU meeting to follow this. And I'm guessing that we're probably around $32,000 to $35,000 that we'll have as a surplus this year. So if you back out the amount that we're going to use as a revenue source, add back in any surplus amount, you can see that the amount that we think we're going to have headed into FY24 is now down to 63. So you can see that number has been dropping. Because of that, I am proposing that we only use $30,000 from the fund balance as a revenue source. And the reason why is because a cliff in revenues is the same as increasing expenses, has the same impact to your SAU assessment. So if we can slow down the amount of fund balance we're pulling out to kind of level that off a little bit, then that will make your SAU assessments a little more manageable and level over the years. It's a good year to do that because in the past we have not included a revenue source called indirect costs. Indirect costs are the amount of funds that we in the SAU can collect from grants for executing those grants. So if we execute a Title I grant and I'm doing all the reporting for it and all the auditing work for it, then we get to claim a small portion of that as an indirect cost, and it comes into the SAU as a revenue. Since we haven't been capturing that as a revenue source, I can drop the fund balance from 50 down to 30, but I can now budget in a revenue source of indirect costs for 20,000, so you're not seeing that impact of losing revenues. So that, I know, is a long, drawn-out explanation, but that's where we are. And that would mean that going into FY25, we would still have $33,000 instead of $13,000. And I'm just trying to, like I say, stretch out that fund balance. The hope is, you know, another year under my belt, I can get a better feel for exactly what to expect for indirect costs. Maybe next year we can drop it from 30 to 20, but increase our indirect from 20 to 30, so it's the same thing, no impact. I'm just trying to step it down gradually. And that is a lot of words, but that puts me to the part where I'm happy to answer any questions or take any comments that you have about the SAU budget, because this is your public hearing. So when you reconvene as an SAU board, that's when we'll be asking for your action on approving the SAU budget.
Thank you, Grant. Do we have any questions for Grant from the SAU board? A lot of math and numbers, Grant. Nobody? No questions at all.
No, just a comment. I like the 30K. on the indirect costs, as you said, it's still fairly, I mean, we haven't always reported that other revenue in there, correct? That's still relatively new.
So it's not relatively
not new
as far as a revenue source. It's new as far as budgeting it as a revenue source. So in other words, that could have been a reason why your fund balance had been built up, because it wasn't budgeted as a revenue source, but it came in. So you ended up with surpluses, bigger surpluses. So that does two things. It will stretch out what fund balance you have now, but it should stop from having big surpluses each year.
And just another kind of a comment, maybe just more for education of everyone too. When grant monies are received, these are grants that would be, that the SAU is administering versus the districts. So is that how you're disseminating where it's applied from?
These are grants, these are district grants. So the Hillsborough Deering Title I, the Washington Title II, they're executed by somebody in the central office. And as such, the central office, as the one that's executing, gets to charge that indirect cost. We didn't charge indirect costs. In some cases, we don't. Like for ESSER, there was a decision, let's not have indirect costs for ESSER grants. Let's use all that money, all the money that we can on ESSER requirements. But I will tell you, it does take up a chunk of my time, and so it is good to get some of that revenue in, and it takes away from SAU assessments. So, but yes, they're school district grants that are executed by my office. And not only my office, but there's also a grant manager, like, for example, Title I and IDA are Stacy, that is the grant manager. So she's doing amendments and processing all that stuff. I'm reporting and logging in the reimbursements that we're getting for the expenses that are incurred. So, yeah, that's one of the functions of the SAU.
Thank you.
And the percentage that's set for indirect cost is set by the state. Like there's a percentage that each district is allowed to collect, and that is told to us. Any other questions or comments for Grant? Thank you for your impeccable work, Grant. I'm sorry, Johnny Cash,
no,
do you have something?
I was just
going to
say, I'm glad they named the grants after
Paul me. Oh, that's really smart.
It does cause a little concern sometimes. A little confusion.
Paul, you didn't catch my Man in Black commentary, so. You're very Johnny Cash tonight. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Going into the ring of fire this evening, Mr. Plater. All right. Any other, no other questions or comments for Grant, so we can go into public comment regarding the budget presentation. So is there any public comment or questions at this point? Please, again, state your name. I state your name. And we would welcome any questions. Riche, did you have your hand going up? I figured you did.
Thank you. Hi. Riche Colton from Hillsborough. I would like to follow up on a few things. One being the telephone charges, and the question for Grant or whoever. The way I understood what you said, if I'm understanding correctly, is that you're no longer carrying telephone charges for the offices because that's something that you're considering part of the landlord's responsibility. And my question to either Grant or to the board here is that something that's in your lease, that is coming from the landlord's responsibility? So is that a lease line item that says that the landlord would be covering that? Because I don't know why you wouldn't be paying for your phone usage and why that wouldn't be part of your budget.
Okay. Could we answer that question before you answer another question? That way we can compartmentalize. Is there an answer?
I can give you a little history.
That would be great. Thank you.
So that decision was made because the phone system is combined with the HD phone system. So it's all, we up until that point, we had two separate phone systems. So this was, again, at the end of the 21 fiscal year is when we brought that to an end.
Right.
So that it would be one phone system. And when the math shakes out, it costs everybody less money to do it that way than it does to have a separate phone system in the SAU. So that was why that decision was made and put together.
Okay. But still, you're getting a use of the phone, so I don't know why you would not be reimbursing Hillsborough Deering's budget back with that revenue. So if it's not in our lease for the SAU, to say that the landlord is going to cover that, then you guys should be paying for your portion, even if it is less. It should be something that should be allocated, in my opinion. The other question I have is related to cell phones. I am curious, after hearing the discussion from the last budget meeting, as to why some of the SAU members have phones. For example, and this is nothing personal, Grant, but I don't understand why Grant would have a cell phone that's paid for with our tax money. You know, my opinion on the cell phone would be that he's needed after hours, emergency purposes, that he's performing functions outside of the normal business. And my understanding, and you guys feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on my understandings, is that he works at a desk, and he has a desk phone. So I don't understand why there's a purpose for us as taxpayers to pay for that cell phone. In addition, I've looked at the Hillsborough Deering cell phone charges, and I noticed that Mary Henry had a cell phone last year that was on the Hillsborough Deering invoice, and it was charged to Hillsborough Deering Maintenance Department. And it doesn't appear that there was a journal entry that was made to charge that back to the SAU, so the SAU, it appears, did not reimburse that back to Hillsborough Deering. So I'm curious as to what other members in the SAU have cell phones and what the purpose is, and is there a policy for that? So I did ask, I requested that under an RSA to see if there was a written policy as to who receives cell phones and why they receive cell phones. So as a taxpayer, I just don't see a reason for us to have to supply cell phones to everybody at the SAU.
Now, am I correct, Grant, that we are not, in fact, supplying cell phones? We are reimbursing a percentage of the cell phone bill. Is that correct?
There are some SAU-provided phones, or if you have one and are willing to use yours as a work phone, your personal. So in my case, I had my phone. I don't want to carry two, so I said I'll just use this as my personal. So I get, I think, $24.99 a month or something along that line.
Okay.
As opposed to a district phone, which would be just paid directly by the SAU.
And how many of our district employees
how many of the SAU?
Yeah, how many at the SAU?
Four.
That's what I mean. Like
the four administrators.
I would assume, Jen.
Yes, so
that makes sense.
The four administrators, in the districts, it's typically administrators that are reimbursed for it.
Okay.
The four administrators.
Okay. So you,
Grant, Stacy, and Jenny Liliberty as
Jenny.
The curriculum
director.
Can I ask, is there a reason why? I mean, if these guys are in the office and working in the office, so, you know, 8 to 5, 8 to 4.
Well,
I'm perfectly happy.
I would just say that knowing what our administrators do, it is not an 8 to 5 job. So therefore, I mean,
I'm not trying to be flippant with that.
But I mean, we can be. I mean, I know for a fact that they're getting calls at all hours of the day and night and weekends if there's a student emergency or a physical plant emergency or. If there's a snow day that has to be called at 2 in the morning. So that would be, and all four administrators are on call, I think, 24/7. And I can say that because I am married to a former administrator who was on call 24/7. So in the case of anything, I can understand why they have it. And I would assume that are we paying their entire bills, or are they just...
It's a... flat rate reimbursement on a monthly basis toward that. You are not paying my full cell phone bill.
Okay, that's what I would assume.
But. But there is a flat rate reimbursement each month for each of the four administrators.
Are those the same for each administrator?
Yes.
Is the flat rate the same? Okay.
Yep, and it's to be able to have a phone with a data plan is in that. I can't remember that changing. I keep thinking I've been an administrator for 10 years, but it's actually been, we're closer to 14 now, I think. But that rate's been the same, you know, in all of the time. The protocol, the procedure for having phones for administrators started back when, Carol, we went and looked this up, Dr. Baker was the superintendent. So that's close to 20 years ago now, which then I got a chuckle because I was like thinking what the cell phones probably looked like at that point, but that's a whole separate thing. As to the specific question as to why the business manager would need a cell phone, two of the departments that fall directly under the business manager's supervision are facilities and transfer, and also our transportation contracts. And I've yet to have something like a boiler go haywire at a nice reasonable hour, like 1 o'clock on a Wednesday. It seems always to be like, you know, 4 a.m. on a Saturday. So there are significant reasons as to why, and yeah.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Rashe? Can I just point out?
But as far as written policy, we don't have a policy, you know, it's like part of the governance. We don't have a policy that lists the equipment that is given to each person to execute their duties.
And do we know what the flat rate is?
I believe it's $24.99 per month.
The same as yours.
I have to do math.
Okay. All right. I was just curious.
Up to $600.
By the way, when my phone went off today about the snow day, it came across as Dr. Baker, and I was like, it's a scam call, but it's still coming through.
Oh, that is because you have not updated your contacts, but I have.
Wow, Dr. Baker's calling?
But I have Barbara's old phone desk phone, so there you go.
Hilarious. So, I'm sorry, Rashe, continue.
I'm actually quite surprised we wouldn't have a policy if we're issuing cell phones. I don't know why we wouldn't have a policy and some rules to be followed with that, but I mean, a reimbursement of a cell phone is different. That's a personal cell phone, different use. Okay.
And all four of the administrators have the reimbursement, just to, at the SAU. Nobody has a district-issued device.
Okay.
Question I have, with regards to the IT director and the PC LAN analyst, do they work for the SAU also? Do you guys receive services from the IT director, from Mr. Richardson and Mr. Redman at the SAU?
So they are Hillsborough Deering employees, and the network, etc. services are part of what is included in the lease, and that has always been the way that has been.
And that's included in the lease? Or is that just an agreement that has been?
That is the common understanding that we have operated under for as long as I have been aware.
Okay. I'd be looking to, I'll talk with the Hillsborough Deering School Board, but I'd be looking to have that reimbursed back to the Hillsborough Deering School Board for the services provided as well. I think that if the SAU is using services that Hillsborough Deering taxpayers are paying, that the SAU should be reimbursing us taxpayers for that. So that would be a request of mine for you guys to add that to your budget, or show me as a taxpayer where in your lease it says that you can utilize the Hillsborough Deering staff for your benefit in your job.
Any other questions or comments?
Do not think so. No.
Thank you very much, Rashe. And I'm sure we coming to the next HD meeting, I think it's on the 19th.
Monday.
17th?
Monday.
I don't
know.
Monday
is.
16th? Monday. Whatever Monday is.
Monday is the 19th.
I'll reserve you a chair. It's fine.
Thanks.
I just shift gears for a minute. That's the present moment.
I don't know what today is. I don't know.
Oh, there was one more question.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I need to use this for the recording or not. Regarding that $20,000 that is coming in for other revenue, Grant may have explained it, but I may not have captured it correctly. So if we did not apply grants expenses or the admin expenses required for those grants, where would that revenue, or where has it been going, or where would it be going if you did not account for it in another revenue line like that?
Would you like Grant to answer that, Heidi?
I'm sorry, my son is having an emergency. I'm sorry, Grant, could you please answer that?
You should have probably kept the microphone so we just went back and forth. But I think I mentioned, so here's an example. Hillsborough Deering has a Title I grant. Stacy does the amendments to that grant, does everything that the DOE requires. I do all the reporting for that grant, and we get 3% as a indirect cost. That indirect cost then is booked as a revenue in the SAU. At the end of the year, that's just one of the revenues that gets booked against all of the expenses. And since it has not been in the budget as a revenue source, I would assume that that would be a contributor towards having a surplus at the end of the year. Now that we're trying to capture it as a revenue source, it won't be an unbudgeted revenue source, so I would assume that you're going to have less of a surplus popping up each year in the SAU. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to manage that as a revenue, along with the decline of fund balance, and just get to a steady state.
So the money has always been going back into the SAU budget, but just not as a line item.
It's been going back into the SAU as a revenue, and it has been a reason why there is an accumulated surplus amount that is now kind of being burned down slowly.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Shay?
Yes, no, I think the gap is just my lack of understanding on the municipal side of how that grant is, okay, is allocated. So,
all right, Rashay. Any other questions or comments? How are we doing back there, Owen and Spencer? Getting all this? I expect a report when we're done. Work toward that Eagle Scout. All right. Any other questions or comments for our dear Grant? I do agree. You went into the right field with the name Grant. All righty then. So we are going to close the public hearing. I think we need to vote to close the public hearing. Am I correct, or do we not need to? I don't know. There are rules. There are rules. I don't know. I think we're okay to close the public hearing.
I think we can announce that we're closing the public hearing.
We are closing the public hearing, y'all. Okay. All right. Don't you love having me as the chair? It's so fun. I almost bought Rice Krispie squares, but I don't cook. Call meeting. You don't even have to cook those. All right, now I'm going to call the meeting back to order. I think we do need a roll call again. Do we not, Megan? Yep. Here we go, Megan. Ready?
From Hillsborough Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Plater.
Yes.
Eddie Welch.
Here.
Michael Kenny.
Here.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Here.
Danielle Moore.
Yeah.
Eric Hodges.
Present.
Tyler Garvin.
Yes.
Laura Botello.
Yeah.
From Windsor, Cynthia Stose.
Here.
Karen Turbine.
Yes.
Becky Bossi.
Present.
Yay. All right. Any correspondence? I don't have any correspondence.
We do not have any correspondence.
Woo! Correspondence. Board business. Yay, we're moving into board business. The November financial report, once again. Coming to the stage is Grant.
Take it away, Grant.
So that should be another document that you got in your board package.
Color coding and everything.
Looks a little like this.
Oh, no, this.
Yes. At the top right, it should say that the from date is 11/1, to date is 11/30.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm just going to run through that. About half of this report, the top half of it, is all salaries and benefit lines. So salaries and benefits, I mentioned in the budget presentation, there was a lot of personnel turnover in the central office in 2023, so actual salary and benefit lines are different than what was budgeted, which results in several lines either showing a deficit or a surplus. We had more people opt out for health insurance and instead get the buyout, which shows up actually as a salary line because it's taxable. So on the sheet, I think you will see about six lines down shows health insurance buyout That's technically a salary line because we have to be taxed on it.
Right.
Let's see. So because of that, salary lines are pretty close to breaking even, but where you see the big savings is in health insurance because people did opt out. Overall, we should have a surplus, I'm thinking of at least $35,000 in salaries and benefits this year. Working down a little further, there's contracted professional services, a 330 line. Expenses appear high since we pay for financial software hosting and the fingerprint machine early in the year. And I also use a lot of the mentor hours that were available to me to get me to this point where I'm no longer visibly shaking while I'm talking to you. Those mentor hours are definitely trailing off now, and I think we are going to be okay in this line. Copier and equipment leases, it appears that we're going to end the year a little bit over budget, but the encumbrance is actually still for copiers, even though that expense is not in the SAU. That's something that just needs to be closed out, canceled, or the purchase order needs to be canceled. And once that happens, I think we'll be fine. The dreaded telephone line, this line was zeroed out. I just had this conversation with the budget, but we do still have reimbursements that we have to make. So this line will be in the hole of $2,400, which is four people times $600. So $2,400 in all. Travel, this line is mostly for mileage, and since many employees only submit twice a year, in like December and then again in June, which lines up with when the IRS rates turn over, it looks like we're a little low, but I would assume in January you'll see this number should bounce up since Dr. Crawford and I just put in our reimbursement request today. Dues and fees. That seems to be running high, but as you know, most dues are paid at the beginning of the year, so I think we are fine in that area as well. So nothing dramatic to point out. Like I said, if you were following along with two projections, I said at least $3,500 in surplus and $2,400 deficit in one area, so hopefully 32 and a half, and hopefully that's conservative, but around that is what we're looking at for surplus this year, and that's on the expense side. So if we get more revenues, which we don't show in this report, but if we get more revenues like in the indirect cost side, that could lead to a higher surplus, but we shall see. If you have any questions on the finance report, we'll be glad to address those.
I actually understood everything you just said. More revenues equals more surplus. I'm getting there. Right.
Yes.
Any questions or comments for Grant on the financial report? Thank you again, Grant. The SAU 34 FY23-24 proposed budget, which is, I love color coding so much. I come from the school of Crawford, so we like color coding in charts.
Yeah, actually, that's the detailed line by line that you got in the draft proposed one. So that lines up with the presentation that I just made. So Dr. Crawford can correct me, but I'm assuming that this is basically on there for you just to discuss. To make sure that you're in a position where you can approve the proposed budget and the fund balance use.
This is, if anybody has anything that they are proposing that needs to be changed, that would be part of the action that you could take this evening now that you've had access to public comment.
And I apologize, the action item wouldn't happen now, it would happen
After the next public comment, to prepare for that action,
if there's any discussion or questions. So,
but as far as we are concerned, we feel like we've put together an accurate reflection of the money that we need to do the work that needs to be done. We need to be as careful with that as possible.
All right, any questions regarding the proposed FY23-24 budget? Questions or comments? I'll go around, I think, because this is a big question. So I'm going to start then with Eric.
I hate to do this, but going back to the telephone services thing, right? I mean, we heard four phones at $25. It's budgeted for $2,400. My math says that's 12.
Thank you.
I heard six and four phones.
$25 per month.
Sure. Times four phones.
It's
right.
Times 12 months. 25 times 25.
I don't think you've got the right reimbursement.
It's $600 per year. Now do the math of 600 divided by 12.
Okay. So I think the monthly rate when you get down to it is
what? Well, then we get a calculator.
It's 50 a month per person.
Right. We haven't made the first reimbursement, so I haven't seen
Grant.
The check.
Grant has never seen this. I think it's $49.99 a month.
Instead of, okay.
Yeah. So okay.
It's
or $39.99 a month.
Per person.
But it's $600 per person for the 12-month
period.
You
said 600, but you said 20.
For the fall.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where I was getting confused.
Yeah, that's me too. So,
that's where I have this.
Okay, so six. All right, that makes a lot more sense.
That's what happens when your math degree comes from Charleston Southern University.
Ouch. I was just going to apply there, but no. JK. $600. Okay. All right, I understand that. Eric, do you have another one? Absolutely. You keep going.
Good.
All right, Erin?
Nope. Well presented there.
I agree. Yep. And Laura?
Very clear. Thank you. I am good with this.
And Tyler?
I'm good as well. Thanks, Graham.
All right.
Good as well.
Okay. We're just going to roll around. All right.
Yeah, I'm good as well. And the comment I was going to make is thank you for looking at the expenses and sort of putting them where they belong.
Yes.
And it is nice to see the revenue, you know, in that line too, so we kind of have a better idea of where it's coming from. So I appreciate that. It seems even like we're getting a little better every year. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad that you're still standing.
We all are. I'm going to start with Mike at the end.
I'm good. What's wrong?
Okay, Paul. All right, Annie. We're going down the line. Cynthia?
Yep.
All right.
Appreciate
Becky?
You. All set.
Grant, yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. We know that you've had to deal with a whole lot in a very short amount of time period, and we are very, very appreciative for your very diligent work and making this happen. So I think that is it on that. Let's. There is the B section on the assessments, NCU assessments, which is in the updated slide thing, too, if you can't find it. It's. So are there any... any other things you got to say about the NCU assessments?
There's not much to say there. I mean, that calculation is dictated by an RSA. So,
right.
I mean, if the budget is approved, then the assessments are what they are.
Yep.
And I relied on Excel to do that math, so you should be okay.
Okay. Any questions or comments regarding the SAU assessments? Seeing absolutely none, I think we are ready to move to the second public comment. Thank you so much, Grant, again.
Thank you.
I would have baked you a cake, but again, I do not cook. Not even with Pam, get it? Now you're cooking with Pam, remember that? That's how old we are. Now you're cooking with Pam. Public comment. So once again, we are opening public comment, an opportunity for the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Anybody that has a comment, not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made, but we will do our best. Rochette, you're holding the mic, so I'm assuming.
I know, because I did forget one of the previous public comments, so I'll have to make
okay.
them here. The other issue that I wanted to bring up regarding the budget has to do with the Blackboard subscription that is for notices and everything else. I noticed that is only paid by the school district, and I think it is utilized by the administrative staff as well, so I think it's utilized by the SAU. So that would be another requests that I have, that we look at how that cost is appropriated, because when I inquired about it, I was told that it is not a portal for students to log into, because I was curious why it wasn't going to different area. I was curious mostly why it was sitting in the maintenance phone category on the school's financial statement. So I think it's, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, it was around $40,000 for the Blackboard software.
Is Blackboard Connect what we're using? Is that the Blackboard Connect to
mass notifications
for like snow days?
Yes.
So that's why it's not the MLM system, or it's not a learning management system.
It's not like Canvas.
It's not like Canvas or that. It's just the mass phone calls, emails.
It's the website and the mass notification system. So it's like
All right, and it comes out of our budget because we have to notify everybody, correct?
So,
if I'm going to Richey, you're in school district. Budget.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
And the Washington School District has a portion of the budget, and because those, all of that is how it is paid.
Okay.
Is that the subscription is paid by the two school districts?
Okay, so
and Windsor's contribution is through their tuition payments for their students.
I thought Windsor's contribution was yelling out the window, "Hey, there's no school today." Hi, kid.
You're correct.
Somebody rang the church bell. Okay.
Sometimes we knock on the door.
So that's why. So it's there. Washington and Hillsborough and Deering. They're
both
sharing
a portion that they pay for out of their budget. Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's to support.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. So my question through public comment is that a tool that is specific to the Hillsborough Deering School District, or is that a tool that the SAU utilizes? Because my understanding is it's the SAU that shares whether school's going to be canceled and the updates and everything else. And it's the SAU that's managing the calendar, I believe. So I, without having a complete understanding of it, I view that as something that should be on the SAU's budget and not Hillsborough Deering, so that's why I'm here asking.
Now I understand why you're asking that, because it's under the HD's. Okay,
correct.
Got it. Thank you. Any other public comment, questions, concerns? How you doing, Owen and Spencer? You okay back there? I'm such a teacher. You guys okay back there?
It's in your heart.
I know. And my soul and my mind. All right. There's no other public comment. I am closing I will close out that section of the meeting and we can move into action items. I know Mike's got a hot date at 7 with a bunch of students. I mean, that doesn't sound right. He's teaching a class. So, meeting minutes. Can we approve the meeting minutes for what?
I'm sorry, I was jumping ahead.
October 27th, 2022. Any thoughts or any changes that need to be made? I did see one that I am preset and Eric is preset, but we are not present. So we might want to make that. I'm a spelling bee champion of sixth grade, so. All right. And I was.
The things that we, now we know.
Anything else? Anything at all in the minutes? All right, so can we go around to approve the minutes?
I will make a motion to approve the minutes from Thursday, October 27th, as amended.
Excellent, and seconded by Mr. Hodges, our math guy. Anybody else have a comment or concern about that? All right, let's move to vote.
From Hillsborough Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Plater?
Yes.
Eddie Welch?
Yes.
Michael Kenny?
Sure.
From Washington? Aaron Mills?
Yes.
Danielle Moore?
Yes.
Eric Hodges?
Yes.
Tyler Garvin?
Yes.
Laura Batella?
Yes.
From Windsor, Cynthia Stos?
Abstain.
Karen Turbine?
Yes.
Becky Bossi?
Abstain.
All righty. So let's go to approve the SAU 34. What happens when it's FY 34? SAU 34, that'll be fun to say. Budget for assessment to school districts. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, discussion on the motion to approve the FY24 SAU 34 budget for assessment to school districts.
So thank you for all the great work, and it looks like it's aligned really well, and so on to another year.
Okay.
It does well.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor and a second. So we are ready to vote. Call the question.
From Hillsborough, Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Plater.
Yes.
Heidi Wells.
Yes.
Michael Kenny.
Here. All right.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Yes.
Danielle Moore.
Yes.
Eric Hodges.
Yes.
Tyler Garvin.
Yes.
Laura Botello.
Yes.
From Windsor, Cynthia Stoes.
Yes.
Karen Turbine.
Yes.
Vic Bossi.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Motion passes. Fund balance amount to use as revenue source. Wow, tongue-tied this evening. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So you need the amount too, correct?
In the amount of
$30,000.
$30,000.
That was second.
All right. Any discussion? All right, let's get voting.
From Hillsborough, Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Plater.
Yes.
Heidi Welch.
Yes.
Michael Kenny.
Yes.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Yes.
Danielle Moore.
Yes.
Eric Hodges.
Yes.
Tyler Garvin.
Yes.
Laura Botello.
Yes.
Cynthia Stoes.
Yes.
Karen Turbine.
Yes.
Becky Bossi.
Yes.
Motion carries 100%. Excellent. That math I can do. Alrighty. Is there any further business to come in front of the board today? No?
There is not.
Well, happy holidays to everyone. Thank you all very much. I need a motion, my favorite motion.
I'll make a motion.
All right, Danielle, you go.
I second it.
All right, Cynthia seconds. Let's vote on the motion, please. Oh, the next meeting is... Carol? Carol?
Well, the next meeting is usually in May, unless there's...
Oh, I love this board. All right.
A reason for a special meeting.
All right. So unless there's a special meeting, do we need to look at our May calendars, y'all, to get that down now? Or do you... Can you... I don't know why I keep saying y'all. It's not like I went to Texas yesterday.
Do we want to try to do a potluck in May?
That would be lovely.
Man after my own heart.
May.
Don't ask her to cook.
What would work? Does anybody know their calendar for May yet?
No idea.
So the meeting is typically held as the third Thursday of May.
So I can put it on May 18th. Good, commencement's over. I don't have... I'm done. Finals week is the 12th. So yay. So Thursday, May 18th then, we'll have a potluck meeting here at...
what time?
I'd say 6 o'clock. Or should we do the potluck at 5:30? 5:30. Potluck. So Thursday, May 18th. Potluck at 5:30.
Meeting starts at 6.
Meeting at 6 p.m.
What kind of potluck only lasts a half hour?
What? You want to make it 5:15?
I'm sure we, you know, if we're bringing a dish, which again, I do not cook, but I will partake. I'll bring something nice. It'll be nice. I'll make Randy make it. Then we can be here by like 5:15-ish and put our dishes out. But I'm sure we don't.
But you had your motion and your second.
Yes, I have my motion and second, so let's call the roll.
From Hillsborough, Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Plater.
Yes.
Heidi Welch.
Yes.
Michael Kenny.
Yes.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Yes.
Danielle Moore.
Yes.
Eric Hodges.
Yes.
Tyler Garvin.
Yes.
Laura Botello.
Yes.
From Windsor, Cynthia Stoes.
Yes.
Karen Turbine.
Yes.
Becky Bossi.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays. Have a wonderful...
If you're only interested in the elementary school,
awesome.
You can put them all and you'll only get the elementary school.
That should work between all the browsers, correct? I know there's Edge, there's Chrome, there's Safari.
Yes. In my testing, they've worked across the three major Chrome, Firefox, and Safari. Edge is Chrome.
Right.
So,
And Explorer is no longer supported?
Correct.
Actually, it's cell phones. I guess cell phones, if it's Chrome.
By Microsoft, no longer supported.
Yeah, it works on on the cell phones as well. So that's the quick and simple how to make that work. What you can do is, if you would prefer to have an app, you can download the app on your